Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome inside ESPN Studios. I am your host, Spencer Wilson. As always, joining me on the board, Mr. Sean Cloud.
What is up, Reno?
Lot to get to. We'll have assistant men's basketball coach Anthony Ruta on the program today. We'll, of course, talk about the World Series. I know it ended on Sunday, but it's the only chance we get, so you got to deal with it. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about Thursday night football, of course, because very interesting. Yeah, Sean is jumping up and down here.
It was awesome.
And he has been. So we'll get into that as well. Let's talk about some local sports, though, here to start it off. The 1868 FC gave a valiant effort on the road this last weekend as they were in Orange County, taking on Orange County SC in the Western Conference semifinals of the USL playoffs. They came up just short on the road. 1-0 was the final. But even with that, I mean, this is a team they had had success against this season, a team that's the number one seed. They picked up a win against them right at the end of their season, so you didn't really know how this was going to go. And watching that game Saturday night, Reno got great chances. You just got to kind of tip your hat to Orange County SC. They played a really good game, and they only got one in. It just happened to be the one they need. But a very good season, just a fun season from the 1868 FC. We've been talking about it all year, really. A team that's only in their second year of existing here in Reno, but I feel like they already have the passion of the community. They have the reputation of just being a fun and exciting team. Like, it feels like they've been here a while, and it does.
We say that every time. It feels like they've been here like 5 years.
Yeah.
With the amount of support they've given. And now, they're 2-for-2, and they actually have a win now, going into the playoffs. So that's going to help them go into next year, hopefully, and maybe, get another win and another win.
A lot happening this year. Brian Brown, the man, the myth, the legend, we talked about him a lot this year as well, moved up to the all-time leading scorer for Reno with 20 goals. Antoine Hopknot broke Chris Wehan's record of 12 assists with 13 this year. And then, of course, there was the 16-game unbeaten streak that this team went on during the summer that was just a blast to be a part of there. So, unfortunately, 1868 season is done. So now we can do what we love to do during the school year, which is just hone in on everything Wolfpack.
Everything.
That's all we have now in Reno. Before, of course, the Aces and the 1868 get started again in February and April, respectively.
Of course.
Or March, respectively. But either way. So a quick update on the USL playoffs. I know Reno is out of it, but just to give everybody a little bit of a heads up. Semifinal, or the Western Conference final, obviously Orange County SC taking on Phoenix Rising FC. A 1-versus-3 matchup in the West, so that should be exciting. And then a 2-versus-5 out East, as Louisville City FC gets ready to take on Red Bulls 2. So there you go. Those are the last four teams standing in the USL playoffs. And we talked about it. Nevada sports, obviously, now the focus. So let's talk a little bit about Nevada sports.
A little bit.
Nevada football going into a bye this week, but coming off a huge home win against the Aztecs of San Diego State, 28-24, the final last Saturday here. Ty Ganji had another solid game, 23 of 43 for 235 yards and 2 touchdowns. And everything the offense has done last week against the Aztecs, the week before against Hawaii, has been great. But really, this defense has been outstanding. They've taken over that mentality of bend, don't break, because they did give up 456 total yards to the Aztecs, which, looking at that, you would go, man, I bet San Diego State just took it and ran away with it. But their defense, even though giving that up, held SDSU scoreless in that second half. They did not get any points on the board, period. So really, you can rack up all the yards you want, but if it's not resulting in points on the board, doesn't really matter. So just a big tip of the hat to the way that defense has stepped up really 2 weeks in a row against two pretty tough opponents.
Yeah, they're great this past weekend. I mean, strong heart. Like you said, our defense put up a stellar second half. Just unbelievable. And then Ganji throwing for 2 touchdowns, 235 yards, like you said. We just did what we needed to do, and we showed that we could compete at that high of a level. I mean, that was only, the second loss for the Aztecs, right?
Overall, yeah. First conference loss for the Aztecs this season.
Which is even bigger.
Which I believe Reno has done, or Nevada has done, 2 weeks in a row. I believe they handed Hawaii their first conference loss, and now the Aztecs their first conference loss. So this defense just continuing to rev up. We will have head coach Jay Norvell on the program next week over the phone. Very excited to talk to him as that team gears up for their last three games and also senior night a week from tomorrow. It'll be the last home game against Colorado State. Hard to believe that only the second Saturday of November and Nevada will already have their last home game. That's pretty intense.
The season flies by.
It does. Those first 2 weeks, you really just like you're taking it all in, so you get settled. Then once you get settled into football season, boom, it's gone. I mean, we're what, in week 9 of the professional season? I mean, that's just ridiculous. So, of course, like we said, Nevada football going into a bye week, so you'll have to do without Wolfpack football for 1 week. But let's get you caught up on everything else going on in Nevada athletics. The men's golf team captured their second win this season at the Visit Stockton Pacific Invitational with a program record 262, which is 22 under in the final round. Joey Virch finishes as the individual runner-up, and, of course, Nevada taking the championship out of 16 teams at this event. The men's team now heads to the famous Pebble Beach course for the St. Mary's Invitational before they take their winter break. And then, of course, the women's team already on their winter break. The rifle team continued their dominance over UTEP this season, winning both meetings in UTEP and then beating UTEP here in Reno, 4,662 to 4,602 last weekend. This weekend, rifle team stays here at home for the Junior Olympic qualifier tomorrow and Sunday. And Nevada had a first for their men's tennis team as Julian Evrard played in the singles final and doubles final at the ITA Regionals. This was the first appearance for Nevada in the singles and doubles final. So Julian Evrard will play in the Surprise, Arizona for the national tournament November 7th through the 11th. That'll be a 128-man national tournament. The men's team now on their way up to Fresno for a weekend matchup with the Bulldogs, and the women's tennis team on their way to Santa Clara for the Santa Clara Invitational this weekend after having some time off after their short stint at the ITA Regionals. Nevada's cross-country team finished 6th out of 11 teams at the conference championship. Juniors Hilly Dobbs and Lindsay Sickler led the way, finishing 16th and 17th, and next Friday the team will be in Provo, Utah for the NCAA Mountain Region Championships. And last Friday, the Nevada soccer team had their last game here at home for the season against UNLV, falling 2-1. The team ends the year with a 4-13-2 record. The swim and dive team had a California road trip last weekend, facing off against UC Davis and Fresno State, and they won both matchups, 187-113 against UC Davis, and then 182-112 over Fresno State. The volleyball team dropped both games this past week, unfortunately, at Utah State 3-0, and then at home against UNLV 3-2. This weekend, Nevada will host New Mexico tomorrow at 1 p.m. Is what is scheduled for first serve at the Virginia Street Gym. And then, I wish we had a drum roll prepared. Basketball season officially gets underway this Tuesday and Wednesday. I know we've obviously talked a lot about men's basketball, seeing as how they're pre-ranked 7th in the country. And obviously, if you didn't see that or haven't been listening to any of our sister stations today, Bleacher Report released an article saying that Nevada should be number 1 overall in the country. So, interesting argument there. Definitely a very talented team. But like we said, we talked a lot about the men's basketball team. Do not forget about women's basketball as well. Amanda Levin's doing the same thing that men's basketball has been doing, which is just winning more and more her first 2 years. She just got signed a nice 5-year contract, so do not miss women's basketball as well as they open up their season here at home on Wednesday against Utah. So don't miss that. Don't miss basketball at all this year in Nevada, especially in Reno.
It's going to be amazing.
It's shaping up to be one heck of a year. And speaking of that, when we come back from the break, we will have assistant men's basketball coach Anthony Ruda joining us over the phone right here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the program. Assistant men's basketball coach Anthony Ruda now joining me on the phone. Coach, thank you very much for taking some time to talk with me today. I know you guys are getting ready for the season to gear up, but just curious what that feeling is like in that locker room between the players and the coaches as you guys get ready to start what could be a one-of-a-kind season.
Thanks so much for having me on, Spencer. And yeah, like you said, I mean, it's got the making to have a very special season. You know, I feel like coaches, players, support staff, you know, the way that the season ended last year with the Sweet 16 run and the close loss to Loyola, we've been excited and really looking forward to, you know, getting back on track through the spring, summer workouts, fall workouts, training camp, and now with the season just 6 days away, you know, there's a lot of excitement in our locker room.
Yeah, speaking about that run that you guys had last year, you guys could have been considered a Cinderella team. Instead, you ran into another Cinderella team in Loyola Chicago. I doubt that's really the feeling around you guys now this year, that this team will be a national contender and not a Cinderella-type story.
Yeah, no question. And I mean, I think, you know, from the other side, too, I think Loyola's feeling the same thing. You know, returning a lot of key pieces from their team that made the Final Four. And, you know, it's pretty unique that it's just the way that things kind of turned out, where we play each other in the Sweet 16, close game, one-point game, and then next year we have a rematch, and you know, we're really looking forward to playing them at their place. I think it's going to be a really good game, sold-out crowd. You know, two really good teams, really well-coached. Porter Moser does an incredible job at Loyola with that team.
You mentioned they had some players returning, Nevada also having two big players returning in the Martin twins. Not only does that add to the depth of this team, but how does that add to the overall maturity of this team as well?
Well, you know, adding the Martin twins back in the fold, Jordan Caroline back in the fold, you know, guys like Trey Thurman, Corey Henson, Nisrae Zuzwa, and Jazz Johnson that all sat out last year. And then you had a guy like Trey Porter, who's a fifth-year player. There's a lot of experience, you know, on our roster where, you know, a lot of teams have, you know, kind of made up of freshmen and sophomore, might have a couple of juniors and seniors where, you know, right now we have six seniors. And, you know, all of them are fifth-year seniors. So, you know, we feel like we have a really experienced team, and we're starting to get there towards a player coach team where, you know, these guys are taking a lot of ownership of the program, and, you know, it's going to really help, especially with the younger guys like Jordan Brown, like KJ Himes, like Vincent Lee that are freshmen on a very senior and junior laden team.
The first two games that you guys had against Washington and San Francisco State, obviously being exhibition games, the result isn't as important as just getting everybody gelled together. What is that team? What is this team looking like coming off those two exhibition games, going up against what could be a sneaky BYU team in their opener?
You know, I think we've learned a ton about our team in these two exhibition games. You know, with each and every year, with new players, new schemes, whatever the case may be, you know, teams have different identities, and we're starting to really figure out what our identity is. Where last year, you know, we were kind of like an aesthetically pleasing offensive team that made a lot of three balls, and this year might be different. This year we might be a high free throw attempt team, and, you know, we want to really pride ourselves on diving on the floor for loose balls, taking charges, and, you know, trying to stop teams as much as we can.
You have a lot of experience with working with guards in basketball. How do you feel Jordan Brown will evolve this year as a player, and what do you feel his role could end up being this season?
You know, the thing about Jordan is, you know, coming as a McDonald's All-American, he has such a high basketball IQ, especially on the offensive end of the floor. He sees things. You know, he plays hard in practice, you know, really trying to, you know, pick up on the little things. And, you know, we feel like he's going to be a big part of this and play an integral role in everything that we do this year.
And Coach Musselman, all he's done since he's gotten to Nevada is win more games every year. You've had also have had experience with Coach Musselman throughout his career. What is it about his energy and just his presence that makes him the kind of coach that he is?
I think the biggest thing about Coach Musselman is that he never turns it off. Like, there's never a bad day. There's never, you know, really a moment where, you know, he just kind of takes a deep breath and quote-unquote relaxes. You know, he's always trying to get better. He's always trying to learn. And, you know, I think it kind of rubs off on the team, especially on the coaching staff, where, you know, hey, we know like coach is going to be up at midnight sending us articles and ideas and everything. And then you wake up in the morning at 5:30 in the morning, and between the hours of 3 and 5, he sent you another 5 or 6 text messages. And that's just kind of how coach is. Like he never turns it off. And, it's great for all of us because it makes us all better coaches every day.
Yeah, not only affecting this coaching staff and the players, but I feel like that also extends to the community environment around this team. We've heard about the season tickets being sold out for about a month now. And describe this being your fourth year at Nevada. Describe how you've seen that part of this program change, the support from outside and just the people packing that arena.
It's been crazy, the transformation over the last few years. I remember our first home game against Portland State. I think we had like 4,200 people. And at that time, you look out in the crowd and you think it's a lot of people. And then, obviously our first year selling out the UNLV game, I think it was like a top 10 crowd of all time at Lawler. And then, the momentum that we had with the CBI run. And, it's been remarkable just seeing the support from the fans, the support from the community, and we're really excited, expecting Lawler to be the place to be this fall and winter. And it's been nothing short of remarkable what Coach Musselman's been able to do with the community to kind of wrap their arms around this basketball team.
Nevada being preseason ranked 7th, what does that do to give this team confidence, but also just to kind of set the foundation of what, again, could be a very exciting season?
Well, a big thing that Coach Musselman has done with our team and our program, ever since our first summer practices, is he's embraced that. He's embraced the high ranking. He's embraced the preseason expectations. And he's also educated our team and our program on, hey, there's teams every year, 3, 4, 5 teams every year that have these lofty preseason expectations and they don't live up to them. And I think that's really important to kind of, get that out there, but also to, coming here and taking over a 9-win program. We got to embrace all of this. I mean, to be 7th ranked in the country in the AP poll, the highest ranking ever of Mountain West team preseason, it's remarkable. And, it's just a testament to everything that Coach Muss has been able to do here.
Yeah, I know. I myself and then everybody here in Reno is getting excited and ready for this season. But one more question before I let you go, Coach. You have experience here at the collegiate level. You also have experience up at the NBA developmental level with everything that has come out in the FBI investigation about college basketball. In your experience, how do you kind of see those two fronts kind of moving forward?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I've kind of been following all that stuff from afar. I think there's a lot of stuff that we don't know and stuff that, will be coming out in the coming months. And I think, everything will kind of figure itself out.
I appreciate it, Coach. Thank you very much for taking some time to talk to me. And good luck with the game against BYU and the season coming up.
Thanks so much, Spencer. Thanks for having me on.
Big thank you there to assistant coach Anthony Ruda for taking some time to talk to me. If you cannot get to the game, which could be really tricky this year because, like you heard there in the interview, for a couple months now, at least a month, if not a couple months, tickets have been sold, at least season tickets have been sold out. I know that regular, just single game tickets are going to be very hard to come by. So if you're looking at your calendar and thinking, hey, we have a chance to do something on this Tuesday or this Friday or this Saturday, if there's a basketball game, I suggest you go to it, and I suggest you get your tickets now because that'd be the safer option. Because those things are selling like hotcakes. But if you cannot get to the game, if you cannot be there, you can listen to it right here on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM, or CBS Sports Network will also be broadcasting it on television. So it is up to you. Of course, never a good idea to miss a John Remy broadcast when it comes to Nevada sports, so I would tune in for that.
Well, you could watch it on TV and then listen to it on the radio.
That's a good point.
You know, that's what I do sometimes.
Oh, very nice. So if you can do that, of course, do that. Because that gives you the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
The Ramey broadcast, and you get to see what's actually going on. Even though he does a great job describing it to you. But either way, those are your two ways you can catch the Wolfpack take on BYU. And then, of course, don't miss the women's opener on Wednesday as well. If you like Nevada sports, you're going to like the contest we have right now because it is your chance, ladies and gentlemen, to qualify for what?
To qualify for the tailgate.
Sorry, that wasn't a very good lead-in. I was trying to change some stuff up.
Let me just go with my own. All right, so you have a chance to win a $25 gift card from Butcher Boy Meat Company, and then you would also be qualified to win the grand prize to the tailgate with the pack in 2019. What the grand prize includes is a 10x10 pop-up canopy, a barbecue grill, four folding chairs, a cooler, a cornhole game, two tailgate parking spots, and four game tickets for every Wolfpack home football game in 2019.
Whew! That's a lot of stuff.
I want that.
Yeah, I know. Who doesn't want that?
The only thing that's not in there is a truck.
I know. The actual car itself is the only thing that's not a part of that package right there. But caller 9 at 775-333-0945 gets the $25 gift card and a qualifier for that grand prize you just heard Sean rattle off. So, caller 9 right now, 775-333-0945 gets the gift card and the qualifying spot. And when we come back, we're talking World Series and NFL here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the program. Big shout out to Robert, our winner there. He won a gift card and is now qualified, one of the qualifiers for the tailgate with the pack. So congratulations, Robert, and said he was a listener, a weekly listener. So thank you very much for that as well. We appreciate it.
We do. It was great.
The World Series is in the books, and Boston was able to take it in L.A., and if you missed it, don't worry, this is how it sounded.
From the top on down, here comes a 1-2 pitch. Red Sox win the World Series! 5-1 the final tonight! And the best team in baseball wins it all in 2018!
Yes, they did. Big thanks to credit for that clip. But yes, they did. And they were, in fact, the best team in baseball in pretty much every aspect. They had the most wins of any team this year. They were the number one overall seed. They beat the Yankees in four games, winning both games on the road in New York. They beat the Astros in five, winning all three games in Houston, and then also beat the Dodgers in five. Although they did suffer their first road loss in Game 3 when they technically played Game 3 and Game 4 that night. That was the 18 inninger, which is technically two games. They played two games in one. But what a series. Really, just what a season for Boston. A team that, when you had the Red Sox and the Yankees, were the two attention grabbers in the American League going into this past season. It was a lot of fun to watch that team. I mean, it seemed like after every month of the season, we were more and more surprised about what this team was doing. And they got to the playoffs, and you thought, man, there's always pressure on the number one seed, especially when you're the number one overall seed in baseball. And there was a lot of pressure being in Boston, having that history with the Red Sox. And it really seemed like this team just thrived in it. And they really just embraced every moment. They never seemed to really feel like they were ever down. I mean, not that they were ever really trailing in a series, but even when they were trailing in the game, and they trailed in at least three out of these five World Series games they played, and they came back to win, I think, all three of the ones they trailed in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, it's just incredible. It was an incredible season. It was a lot of fun to watch, and just hats off to Boston.
Yeah, I'm just happy it's over and there's no more games. Like, you know, we all know that I don't like the – here's what after that two games in one game,
yes,
I was just worried that the Dodgers were going to come back with a powerhouse and just wipe the rest of the series. And then after, you know, the next game and they didn't, I was like, all right, finish off the next game. Let's go home and get ready for next season. And maybe two different teams will be there.
I thought they'd do it in four. They ended up doing it in five, but we both said that returning to Boston would not be to play Game 6. Mm-hmm. It would be with the World Series championship, and that is exactly what happened. Hats off to David Price, who got to exercise a lot of demons this postseason, especially in the World Series. He got two starts. He got two wins, a pitcher that really struggled in the postseason and was hearing it every time he got to the postseason. He heard that, and just for him to be able to – like I said, exercise those demons and put himself in that kind of a spotlight is fantastic. Not the only pitcher, though, coming off this World Series that's in the news. Clayton Kershaw made some news this afternoon, signing a 3-year, $93 million extension with the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll see. He was 0-2 this World Series. I think it comes down, it almost becomes, I feel like, that same conversation around Peyton Manning. Like, the regular season, this guy is your guy. You can go to him. He'll give you any kind of start you need. But when it comes to the postseason, it's been rocky and it's been up and down. So how do you allow that to weigh in again to a player's overall greatness?
Just don't make him play in the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, he's still going to be their number one guy. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see. I just think it's interesting how, again, he is that guy that you ride in pretty much every situation you feel you need to when you need somebody. And then when it comes down to those big game situations, he's just, I mean, not that it's just his fault. I mean, a lot of the times the Dodgers offense just couldn't keep up with the Boston offense. I mean, every win that Boston had was by multiple runs. 5-4 in game one, 4-2 in game two, 9-6 in game four, and then 5-1 in game five. The only one run win was the Dodgers win in that 18 inning game three, which was 3-2. So again, it's not all on Kershaw, but when he's going to be your main guy and you give him a $93 million extension, if you get to the postseason, you get bad. I mean, it's three straight National League Championship Series appearances. They've won the last two. They've dropped the last two World Series that they've been in. You're going to need to start seeing that clutch performance out of him to justify that kind of money eventually. So we'll see what happens there. Now let's get to football. Let's get to football. Let's get to what happened last night. So, being a Charger fan.
Battle of the Bay.
Very happy to see the Raiders struggling this season. It's almost bringing me more joy than the five wins the Chargers have this year. Almost. But man, was last night just ugly.
You know, I feel like every Thursday night game is ugly now.
I mean, it seems that way.
Yeah, it's a very upside, downside battle.
But you're a Niners fan. What's your initial thoughts on Nick Mullins?
Kid came out of nowhere. I mean, I did some research when it was first reported that he was going to start playing. At first, I was happy. I said, all right, anyone's better than C.J. Beathard at this point. I mean, you could throw anyone out there, maybe a six-year-old.
You could throw me out there,
yeah,
man.
You could throw either of them. I can't even grip a football. My hands are tiny.
I know. I'd be throwing it pretty much like a Kareem Abdul skyhook. Just, woo!
It's over there.
Good luck.
You caught that. Yeah. Thank you. But he came out of nowhere. And that was one of the things that, you know, made him prominent. No one had seen him. It was kind of the same thing as Darnold. No one had seen him play, you know, other than college. But college is way different than, you know, the NFL in general. So you kind of like, you didn't really know where to go with it. Then they started playing. First drive of the game, Raiders looked really good. I mean, they didn't get a touchdown, but they looked really good on that drive. Then we get the ball. Nick Mullins gets in there. And, you know, he's 3-for-3 in his first ever. He threw his first career pass. It was caught. Then the two passes after that, you score a touchdown. Amazing. Okay, benefit of the doubt. We're going against Gruden. He'll come back. They didn't come back. And the 49ers did not stop at all and just destroyed the Raiders and destroyed their heart and everything they had. And just, you could see it. And and we looked like a Niners team that we could, but all right, here's the other thing. Benefit of the doubt. We're playing the worst team.
One of the worst teams in the NFL.
I mean, you know, you could say, oh, they're playing, you know, just to get a, you know, better draft picks, whatever it is. They're making trades to get draft picks, whatever they want to do. You could tell that Carr and Gruden were not on the same page at all. I mean, there's a good clip that was in there. I wish you guys, if you didn't watch the game, I could understand, especially if you're a Raiders fan.
I mean, going into it, it was, 1-70 and 1-6, so it wasn't like the most, hey, come watch this. It wasn't that
It was like the most frowned upon, like, primetime TV performance. But
the only thing that saved it in our local region was the fact that we have a lot of Bay Area people, obviously, in the area, and a lot of people turned out to see that game, but I can't imagine that was a very big national draw there.
No, but it was great. For us fans, it was great.
16 of 22 for 262 yards and 3 TDs for Mr. Mullins last night.
No interceptions.
No interceptions.
One should have been, just saying.
Yeah, but there was one that got away. Surprisingly enough, the only San Francisco 49er quarterback in the history of the team to throw three touchdowns in his debut.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Which, if you think about the quarterbacks this franchise has had, that's pretty impressive up there. You said he did come out of nowhere. He was a Southern Mississippi grad. One other Hall of Fame Super Bowl champion coming out of Southern Mississippi. Mr. Brett Favre.
Who texted him.
Called him after the game.
And before.
Oh, and before.
During the game, he was tweeting out saying, this guy's going, it was great.
To have Favre in your corner, man, that's saying something. But very happy for Nick Mullins. Thought the kid played a heck of a game. He was put into a situation where I think, like you said, people kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt because this is a team that's been struggling this year, obviously with its injuries not helping him at all, but really came in and just gave San Francisco a spark that Oakland desperately needs, but just I don't think they're going to get it from anywhere.
The other thing with that game, just point out, was that crazy one-handed catch that Kittle did. You know, we talk about great tight ends in the NFL. We have Kelsey, we have Ertz, you know, Graham, Gronkowski, of course. But this guy, Kittle, that catch, I don't know how he did that.
That was an OBJ-style catch at its
finest. Three defenders is where that ball made it through.
Again, you talk about the catch, but again, the ball placement, just another tip of the hat to Mullins.
He's standing in there taking hits. So,
you're correct.
Kind of stand back on that. But we'll see what happens coming weeks. You know, now there's video on him. We'll see exactly what happens. The defense was there. Had hands up to our San Francisco guys. That was a great game. If you would have lost, I would have cried.
I think it's a nice stretch for Mullins to get into, though, because they played Oakland last night. They have the New York Giants coming to San Francisco again. The next coming, is it next? Yeah, next Monday or so. It's on November 12th. Mm-hmm. But, a very solid start for Mullins, and he's got another opportunity to put in a solid start and get more comfortable against the New York Giants. Now let's talk about I like to do this during the season when we start to get bye weeks. Let's talk about who this bye week benefits the most, because we got a lot of teams on the bye this week. You have Cincinnati, Indianapolis, the Giants, Philly, Arizona, and Jacksonville. Those six teams are on a bye week. So which one is going to benefit the most? I don't think it's going to be Arizona because, again, with Rosen, kind of the same season that the Raiders are having, even though the Raiders didn't plan on having this season they're having. But you have Rosen, and you just got to try and build weapons around him. Unfortunately, your biggest weapon, Larry Fitzgerald, although he's still producing, is on his way out. He's on the bottom half of his career. So you're going to have to start working to get more weapons around him. So I don't really think Arizona's going to get a whole lot out of this bye week. Same for the Giants. You're just kind of going through this season. You don't know what the future holds for Eli. You don't really know what you're going to do after this year. So I don't know. Again, they're just going to have to get through this year. I thought for a second it would favor Indianapolis. Maybe it allows Andrew Luck to kind of diagnose himself, see the struggles that he's had coming back. Because I don't know about it there. I wasn't super high on the Colts this year. I didn't think Luck was going to come back and have this tremendous year. I thought they'd be better than what they are, I'll be honest. I'm a little surprised they're as bad as they are this year or struggling as much. But initially I thought maybe this would be a good time for Andrew Luck to step back, look at himself, diagnose what he can do better, and then just go out there and try to be good coming off of this bye. I don't think it's going to help Jacksonville at all, because again, I think Jacksonville, although I do think they could use this week to really look at Blake Bortles, because even though Cody Kessler wasn't phenomenal, is it time to just say bye to Blake? I think we both said yes last week when we talked about this, so I feel like they could use this week to really look at those two guys, but they won't. They're just going to go with Blake Bortles again next week.
I think coaches need to start putting in like a challenge aspect. So like, you know, in college and in bands and stuff, you have a challenge aspect. You can challenge whoever's in front of you. I think there should be a same aspect for certain teams. Like, hey, can you throw it through all these, you know, tires in this time frame, or, you know, something like that?
Yeah.
And then you'd be, you know, better off than this guy. Something to figure out what's wrong with your team. Maybe just listen to the fans.
Maybe.
Us commentators, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. There's something out there.
There's got to be something. But again, I don't think Jacksonville is going to really benefit all that much. Philly, maybe. But again, I feel like that's just until Wentz gets his feet really back underneath him, because he's been off a step. And I feel like a young guy coming back from an injury that he had, it's going to take him a little while just to get comfortable and back into that rhythm that he was in. Because last year, before he got injured, he was having an MVP caliber season. Mm-hmm. So I feel like for him to get back to that, he's just got to get loose again. And right now I think he's trying to be aggressive and tender. He's trying to push himself, but he knows that knee could be a little wobbly still. So I feel like once he gets back into it, it'll help him. Not one bye week is going to fix that, though. It's going to take some games for him to still do that. And that brings us to Cincinnati. So initially, like I said, I thought this would help Indianapolis the most. I now think this bye week will benefit the Cincinnati Bengals the most, because you have had an up and down year. I think they're doing better than most people thought they would do, and I feel like it'll be the best time for this team to really regroup. Marvin Lewis, who I, again, still can't believe he's still there, but he is. So we can bring this team together and say, we're competing in a division that is not what it usually is. Usually it's the Steelers or the Ravens, and we're trying to compete with one of those right now. It's not that way anymore. It's not as cut and dry as that this year. So I feel like this is the best time for Marvin Lewis to pull these guys together and say, going into the second half of our season, we can pull off a divisional win. We can pull off a divisional title and maybe get a top four spot in the playoffs. If not, we are a wild card caliber team. We can get there. But you're going to need Dalton to be more consistent, and you're going to need your defense to be more consistent. So I think this bye week ultimately helps Cincinnati more.
Yeah, A.J. Green has an injury as well, so having the bye week really helps them on their wide receiver core. And you're right, Cincinnati's coming out to be a beast. You have Boyd, you have Mixon, you have A.J. Green, you have some tight ends. You know, you're right, though. Their defense is the one that needs to be able to stop some of these big caliber, you know, plays that have been happening to them that, you know, cost them to go down big, but then they come back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know what to say about the Cincinnati
Bengals. Yeah, I know. They're having just a weird year.
Yeah.
It's odd. Let's talk about one more thing here when it pertains to football. The Los Angeles Rams are currently 8-0. They are halfway through their season and they have not lost. What's the probability that they can go 16-0 into the playoffs? Well, looking at their last 8 games, I would say one of their tougher tests is this week, because they are at New Orleans on the road against a very good Saints team. They're what, 7-1? 7-1. Drew Brees has been playing amazing. This offense has been clicking on every cylinder. So I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think it's hard to say. It's really hard to say who wins this game in New Orleans.
So I took the Rams, because they are 8-0, they're coming off of a good win, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's been saying that it's probably going to be the Saints. Why? They're at home. They've been playing phenomenal. Here's the key factors to look at. Kamara on one side and Todd Gurley, who's running for MVP of the season, you know.
Pun intended there.
Exactly. Those are what you're going to have to look at. I also believe that people are thinking, oh, you know, this Rams defense isn't that great. I think you're wrong.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going up against a passing team, this defense can put up some stuff. Same goes for New Orleans. It's going to be a tough match. So if they are going to lose one game, yes, it is going to be this week. I don't foresee them losing games the rest of the season unless some key injuries come into play, like Todd Gurley getting hurt, knock on wood,
because
he's on one of my teams. Either way, though, you're right. It's going to be either this week or no week.
Yeah, so I feel like the Rams have a week 12 bye, so they have 3 games until their bye week. And I think if they're going to lose, it'll come before that, because they play New Orleans this week, and the week before their bye, week 11, they play at home against Kansas City. So I feel like at New Orleans and then hosting Kansas City, really the only 2 games they could lose. At home against Seattle in between the New Orleans and Kansas City game, I don't think Seattle has what it takes to keep up with the Rams this year. They didn't in their first meeting. And then they go into the bye week and come out against Detroit and Chicago, both on the road. Now, I don't think Detroit could be any real test, but Trubisky's been having good games here and there, so you don't know coming off a game at Detroit and a bye week. Maybe Chicago slips in a win there. And then after that, home against Philly, at Arizona, and home against San Francisco.
I have a bold prediction.
Okay.
I just thought of this.
All right.
So Rams lose this week, right?
Okay.
They win the rest of the week. They go in the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. They will not go to the Super Bowl.
Okay. So you're saying if
I think they'll be the number one team going into the playoffs.
The number one seed in the NFC, you think?
Yeah, uh-huh. But I don't think they go, because I just feel like they might choke.
So you say that you think they'll capture the number one seed in the NFC, but even with that, they don't make it to the Super Bowl. They lose at some point before that. Okay, there
bold
you go,
prediction.
Folks. You heard the cloud bold prediction. We'll see if it will. Only time will tell if it'll pay off. So before we go to our final break, one extra tweet. Treat. I don't even know
tweet.
What tweet. Yeah, I don't know what I'm trying to say right now. But an extra giveaway today. Caller 9 right now gets, what do they get, Sean?
They get a pair of tickets of Wynnum Before You Can Buy Them tickets to see, how do you pronounce this?
Dierks Bentley.
Dierks Bentley, Birdie Man Tour 2019 with John Party and, oh my God, Tenille Townes at the Reno Event Center on February 16th as part of our celebration of being your sports station for 50 years with Lotus Radio.
Caller number 9-775-333-0945. You get those. A couple other of interesting sports stories when we come back from the break here on the Spencer Wilson Show here on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the program. Mr. BK down in Florida sent us a message this week. He would like to know, do you think women's basketball has a chance in gaining the following the men's programs have achieved? I have coached both genders and have had several teams that played as well, if not better, than their male counterparts. The only thing missing for them was the audience to appreciate their effort. Yeah, that pretty much sums up women's basketball. It's missing the audience approval. And I think the tough thing is, especially with the NBA these days, it's so social media heavy that it just pulls everybody's attention in. You have guys going after each other on Twitter, on Instagram. That spoils over into the bat. I mean, it's just like a never-ending social media show. That's what you get. So I think it's just tough for women's basketball to stand out in that sense. I think the WNBA does it really smart, though. They have their season going through the summer, obviously, when NBA is done. So right. I think that's a really smart thing to do in that you allow the women to really shine on their own terms in their own time frame, especially since it is a lot of fun to watch the WNBA. I don't know if anybody watched the playoffs this past year. I watched the WNBA finals between Seattle and Washington. A lot of fun to watch that series. Sue Bird looked like Steph Curry out there just launching threes from every angle. So I still want to hold out hope that, yes, women's basketball will reach that potential. I saw a lot of good crowd turnout during the playoff games I watched on TV. So I just think that the men will always have that little bit of an edge. Unfortunately, it's because of just the dunking aspect of it. I mean, basketball has become such a showman sport that I just feel like that's the one thing really lacking. You have to have that explosive play in women's basketball. Like, the dunk just really redefined what men's basketball could be. And so I feel like women's basketball is just missing that one electrifying move like that. But I think I'm going to hold out hope. I think that, yes, someday women's basketball will reach the level that men's basketball does.
One day, yes. I agree. And you're right. It needs that spark to get everyone's attention. You know, maybe halftime it's a brawl. Who knows? Maybe you play dodgeball during halftime. Whatever it is, you gotta get people into being there and watching it. Whatever that may be, and it may take a couple of years to figure that out. Maybe they were like, hey, we can now do dunking. Who knows?
Yeah, and awesome. I think, especially with the younger generation getting into those higher competitive levels, they are obviously going to have a better idea of how to operate on social media. So I feel like it is going to help them get to that point. But thank you, BK, for the question. We always appreciate answering those. And, of course, you can send us your question at Spencer@LotusRadio.com and Sean@LotusRadio.com. And just to clarify, Spencer can be a tricky name to spell here and there. It is S-P-E-N-C-E-R. I know some people put the S in there. It makes sense. It's the same kind of sound. But it is C-E-R there at the end. And, of course,
it's S-H-A-W-N.
Yes.
Not S-E-A-N, like scene, but S-H-A-W-N.
So there you go.
And that's how you would get a hold of us. Either one, it doesn't matter. We're going to send them back to each other, so it doesn't matter. Just pick one, whichever one's easier, or whoever you favor more. I'll understand if it's not me.
So let's get to a couple other news clippings here throughout the week. Lewis Hamilton clinched his 5th Formula One Drivers World Championship, clinching the title down in Mexico last weekend in probably the least convincing fashion that he has won or completed a race this year. He finished 4th off the podium, and Mercedes as a whole kind of had a lackluster day down in Mexico. Max Verstappen got his 3rd win of the season, so hats off to Max and Red Bull Racing, but that's it. They have two races left. They'll be in Brazil next weekend, and then the Yas Marina Circuit in Abu Dhabi for their season finale at the end of the month. And then tomorrow night, UFC 230 goes on to pay-per-view as Daniel DC Cormier defends his heavyweight title against Derek the Black Beast Lewis. Both men coming off wins. Obviously, DC's last fight was when he beat Stipe Miocic, I believe. Oh, no. Oh, was it? No, I don't think it was. Never mind. I believe it was against Ozdemir. No, I think the Miocic fight was after Ozdemir earlier this year. Either way, they're both coming off wins, so it should be a good fight. And check out, obviously, of course, the prelims on FS1 and then their Fight Pass prelims if you have that as well. Thank you to everybody for tuning in this week. We really appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter at My2Spenceworth.
Just follow me in real life if you can find me. I'm not that hard to find.
And we'll be on the air same time next week. Don't forget, support the pack, as that is pretty much all the athletics going on in our area now with high school and college. So please get out there and support them during basketball this year and all sports this year. Have a good weekend. Peace!